Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 to 10. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Solomon sets before us today the way of wisdom and the way of folly. You've heard what he wrote about the way of wisdom. Consider now what he writes of folly later in Proverbs chapter 9. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Wisdom builds a house. She prepares a meal, she mixes her wine, she also sets her table, she slaughters her beasts. And she does not go out and call, but she sends her servants to call because she is preparing the feast for the guests who are to come. Folly does not work. She simply calls out seductively. She takes a place that does not belong to her. She sets herself up on the highest places of the town. Her water is stolen. Her bread also must be eaten in secret because it does not belong to her. And most importantly, her work does not result in wisdom, but in sending her guests to the depths of Sheol. What a contrast between wisdom and folly. One productive and useful, the other lazy and indolent, the one resulting in wisdom, the other resulting in death. But there is much more to wisdom here than simply being productive and useful. We tend to view wisdom as some type of disembodied knowledge gained through experience and often accompanied by gray hairs, of which I'm starting to gain a few. And to some degree, it's true. The longer you live in this life, the more earthly wisdom you will gain, even if it's the simple wisdom of saying what not to do simply because you tried to do all the wrong things, as I'm also learning there as well. But for you, dear Christian, wisdom is not simply disembodied knowledge. Wisdom is not ephemeral stuff out there floating in the ether. No, your wisdom is not merely spiritual. Your wisdom is concrete and real. He comes with hands and feet. Your wisdom is that wisdom that has come down from above and has worked salvation for you. He also has built a house. He has hewed its pillars, seven of them. We do well to note that our Lord also wrote seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. This house that he has built is also his body, and he has brought you into this house, into this body, through the waters of holy baptism. Not stolen, secret waters, things tasted in the darkness of the night, but pure, clear water issuing from his side to purify you, his bride, his body, his very church. And neither has he left you to starve. Neither has he left that body, that house that he has made to starve. He has prepared a feast. He has slaughtered the beasts. He has mixed the wine. He offers a feast which no earthly idol can compare with. Not earthly mammon, not the idols of old. It is a feast of rich food, well-aged wine, bones full of marrow. That is to say, he feeds you on himself, his very own body and blood. He calls all to this feast, those who were not worthy rejected the call. So as he goes out into the highways and byways, and who does he call? The fools, the simple ones, those who lack sense. And in this house, in this feast of himself, he cures the folly of mankind. He offers wisdom and instruction and learning and insight. This is not the empty, seductive calling of folly. She sits in her doorway and calls out, luring the simple and those who lack sense to destruction and Sheol. No, your wisdom that comes down from above offers bread made with his own hands, wine shed from his own arms and his own side, meat slaughtered by his own hand, that you would have all the wisdom and righteousness and insight of heaven. That is to say, that you would have wisdom, that you would have Jesus. Wisdom is not fleeting knowledge, not merely experience gained by time and age, but it is the wisdom of God who suffered and died that you might live. And now this wisdom does indeed live in you. And this means that just as this wisdom is not merely head knowledge, but the real and concrete presence of Christ, so also are the effects of this wisdom in your life. We do not merely store up our wisdom for reflection on Sunday morning and then put it away the rest of the week, but it is the wisdom that continually guides and directs your life here and now. Or we might say, if ideas have consequences, how much more does the wisdom of God that has come down from above change and transform our lives? Consider again how Solomon describes the wise and righteous man at the end of our reading today, as someone who desires more wisdom, who seeks out greater knowledge, who longs after reproof and correction. He writes, "Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and whoever reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." Of course, we may take this as advice from Solomon on who we ought and ought not to correct, right? Rebuke a wicked man, and he's going to give you more injury. That's true. But it's also true that we could look at Solomon's instruction as a guide for how we ought to receive wisdom ourselves. Consider how our hymn put it, "Wisdom's highest, noblest treasure, Jesus is revealed in you. Let me find in you my pleasure and my wayward will subdue." There you have it. The wisdom that comes down from above does not merely fill your head, but subdues your wayward will. It seeks out reproof and correction, not bristling under it as though it was unnecessary and angry, but gladly receiving reproof, correction, and training. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the way of wisdom and not of folly, the way of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brings you, dear children of God, out of your simple ways and into the way of insight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.